Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, October 21st, 2021. Welcome, everyone. This is going to be an hour-long broadcast, and the reason being, I spoke to Steve Quayle earlier, and he's just not feeling up to coming on, and we had an entire segment dedicated for that for him. However, he's fine. He's just tired, you know. So out of an abundance of caution, I said, Steve, just hang, you know, just rest. But on the upside, man, he sounded a whole lot better today, a lot stronger. So it's all good in that respect. Still, of course, mourning the loss of our good friend and colleague, Russ Dizdar. And I just want to say, you know, we're doing a lot of things behind the scenes, folks. I'm not ready to really give any information out. And I noticed some of the comments on Rumble. I believe it was Rumble, maybe Brighty on, but saying, you know, release all the information with respect to the investigations you're doing. And we can't do that. It's still in the investigation and litigation, pre-litigation phase or pre-adjudication phase, I should say. And however, you know, you'll be the first to know. All right. So, and the team, Russ's team, is working very, very hard and diligently at maintaining the momentum we had, you know, prior to Russ's illness and subsequent death, which, again, it's just so incredible to even sit here and talk about. You know, one more piece of information, too. Many longtime listeners and viewers will remember a good friend of mine. And the hits keep just on coming, okay? The hits just keep on coming. A good friend of mine, Pat Campbell, from Erie, from my hometown in Erie, then to Steubenville, and then to KFAQ out of Orlando, where we had breakfast together. I appeared in studio with Pat and had a great time with him. And then he went to Tulsa. Pat Campbell passed away. Passed away from cancer. And, you know, although you expect something like this, I mean, he was ill in the final days. It's just like a 1-2, 1-2-3 kind of punch. It's a gut punch. My thoughts and my prayers go to Pat's family. Pat was just an astounding man. And God bless that man and all that he did. I mean, he was a staunch conservative. And you know what? He spoke his mind, and I could tell you story after story after story about Pat Campbell and the stuff he did behind the scenes. Again, I think he filled in at Fox a couple of times. He might have done he did a number of national spots, but rest in peace, Pat Campbell. You're going to be sorely missed. Again, the hits keep on coming and coming, don't they? All right, so we have today a number of things that are taking place. I think this is extremely important that people understand. The supply chain issues, all right, these are being pushed under the carpet, misrepresented, deliberately misrepresented by the people in power or by the people who we have ceded power to. Maybe that's more appropriate. So I had a long conversation earlier today with someone. I'm not going to reveal the name because he asked me not to, and I respect that, who's directly involved in the moving of goods from port to your home, okay, and a number of things in between. And I asked him, who is screwing the pooch, so to speak? What's going on here? And he said, well, it's a number of things. And it's pretty much what you might expect. But he reminded me of something, and I have to his credit, I have to say, you know, thank you again. He said, you know, I have saved on my computer your article about killing the dollar, killing the U.S. dollar. And he said, everything makes sense when you look at your article that you wrote 10 years ago or 9 years, 8 years, whatever it was, and the things that are happening today. And it's all about killing the dollar. And folks, if you haven't seen the just a tremendous video, I think it's a 7-minute video. And again, I don't know who did this, but they took my article and they narrated the article with some background images and stuff. It's really a good piece of video. But back then, I was told the intent was to kill the dollar under Obama, which didn't quite happen. Think of it this way. Think of Obamacare and what its intent was. If you just move away all of the crud, all of the white noise away from the intent of Obamacare, the intent of Obamacare was to nationalize our healthcare system. And if you look at it through that lens, you will see that was the intent, and it wasn't quite done. There were some legislative roadblocks put up, and there were some laws, you know, contemptible laws in the way. Constitution, of course, you know, constitutional issues with respect to this. But now we're seeing, because of this response to, not because of SARS-CoV-2, but the response to SARS-CoV-2, known as the Communist Chinese Party virus or the Anglo-Asian virus, however you want to look at it. But the response to it was a force multiplier, a much needed force multiplier to finish certain things off. Because don't forget, I have to go back to 2016 when Donald Trump assumed office. When he was voted into office, the deep state didn't expect that. They did not expect that. Even though the House, if you're in a casino, the House had done some things to make sure that they were going to win in the end, right? They always do. Well, even though that happened, guess what? Trump got in. So that set their timetable back some. Actually, more than 4 years, but 4 years, four calendar years. And there were some issues there because Trump was not signed on to the deep state global governance sort of thing, the UN Biodiversity Project. Now, by the way, I would urge everyone to, as well, that's listening and watching this, to look into the UN Biodiversity Project that began on Earth Day back in 1992. All right, and I apologize for using their terms, but that's an easy way to search for things. All right, so, but having said all of that, if you look at everything we're seeing today through the lens of the globalists, killing the dollar, taking the dollar out from being the world's reserve currency, they went from, and follow me on this, they went from taking that out of the world's reserve currency or, you know, in the process thereof to, and then going to, we'll say like a basket of currencies, special drawing rights, right? SDRs. Right now that they're fast tracking this to a digital currency. All right. So take a step back and take a look at the larger picture because through this lens, this macro lens, everything starts to make sense because, and I'll just say this, you know, from my experience in investigations, if you are looking at something and you don't know what you're really looking at, or you're looking at it by itself, it doesn't have the significance it has as you step back and look at the larger crime scene. All right, so that's what we have to do. We have to take these various clues, pieces of evidence, and take a step back and say, okay, what does that mean? Or if you're looking at people's suspects, okay, and you know the usual suspects here, if you're looking at their course of activity, look through it objectively, but also look through it with, okay, what's their intent here? What's their end game objective? Their end game objective is total control and consolidation of all power. They're going to own everything. That's what they want to do. And you might say, well, how is that possible? I own my house. I own my land. I own my cattle. I own my chickens. I own this. Exactly. Exactly. Right now you do. But imagine property taxes being so high that your worthless fiat currency won't be able to cover that. That's what they're trying to do. That's how they're going to abscond, if that's the correct term, with your hard-earned dollars or hard-earned assets, property, cows, chickens, pigs, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. But you get the idea, right? So, okay. So I was talking with this gentleman today, and I said, okay, look, we have 5-6 different theories on the container cargo cluster, you know, right? So you're in this business. Tell me what's going on. Or in the words of Marvin Gaye, what's going on? All right. So, Eric the Tech, I probably didn't do that. You don't like my...
I think it's Let's Get It On.
Or Let's Get It On. Okay, whatever.
Let's get it on.
Eric the Tech, man. He's... okay. And by the way, you know, I should say this too. I mean, we've all been like put through the mill here, Eric the Tech as well. And he never gets like the shine that he deserves. So just saying thanks for Eric the Tech. I appreciate you, man. All right.
I don't need shine.
You glow by yourself, right? You're glowy. No, you're a glowy, not a showy. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right. So, So here's the bottom line. Because we even had a conversation. Could it be customs? U.S. customs. Think about that. Who's raised that aspect of things? Could it be U.S. customs? No. Actually, U.S. customs, believe it or not, are the only people that are actually doing their jobs. Well, here's the bottom line here. This is what we found out today. And because, again, the gentleman I spoke to, in the business of moving stuff from port to your shelves or your living room. And he sits behind this. I've been in his office, and it's just nothing but computer screens and charts and maps and stuff I don't get. I'm thinking, what are you running the world there, you know? In a sense, he is. I mean, in a sense, he's getting things moving. But here's the bottom line. There's 80,000. There's a difference of between last year and this year. There's a difference of 80,000 truck drivers. Why? Why are we down 80,000 truck drivers? Again, it's a response to the SARS-CoV-2 Chinese Communist Party virus. Response to it. The small business, a lot of trucking companies are small trucking companies. They're one, you know, the Schedule C type operations, or maybe a small corporation with like an S-Corp with 5-6 drivers, 5-6 trucks or whatever. And they work on a pretty razor thin margin of profit. Well, when the rollouts, especially in California and other port states, except Texas, came out with the restrictions for the SARS-CoV response being, hey, you've got to get the jab, or you've got to, or whatever that case might be. Okay, that was an impact. When things were not moving this year, a lot of trucking companies had tanked, had filed for bankruptcy, had gone out of business, sold their assets. Where'd they sell them to? To the mega truck companies, all right? And then you've got the very interesting and very pertinent part, which is really accounts for the most, and that is the trucks that are out there in the ports, especially in California, the ports in California, are so regulated. You've got, and he walked me through this. If you want to drive a truck and pick up a load at the Long Beach port or whatever, Los Angeles, wherever port in California, your truck has to meet certain requirements. Ultimately, your truck has got to be newer than 3 years in order to meet the engine requirements because of the green emissions controls. Think about this. Now this was actually laid out very well with the Conservative Treehouse. But then there are other factors as well. Now there are two somewhat opposing pieces of video. I'm going to show you this, but I'll connect them after we show you video one, I think it is, and video two. This video one, clip number one, is actually, it was a Twitter feed, and this is a news report, and clip number two is actually from a truck driver at the Port of Los Angeles. So watch these, and then we'll come back and we'll explain this. So if you're ready, let's go to clip one, it's labeled Port Cargo number one, and this is off Twitter. I don't know when this was posted. It was in the last 24 hours, but this sheds some light. This is a news clip that sheds some light, or it really doesn't shed any light. It's the news version, the mainstream media version of what's going on. Okay, here it is.
What is sitting in all these containers behind us?
Everything.
Longshoremen telling me some of these containers have been sitting here for 6 months, with a shortage of truck drivers to get the goods on the highway and into stores. It's not just making things harder to find, it's making them more expensive.
Today we face an economy that's in transition. And as part of that transition, we are seeing high prices for some of the things that people have to buy. But the reality is that the only way we're going to get to a place where we work through this transition is if everyone in America and everyone around the world gets vaccinated. That's why the president continues to be focused on the idea that we get everyone who can vaccinated in this country.
Economy in transition. Twice he mentioned that phrase. And then, of course, oh, you've got to get the jab. Because that's the only way to get this economy back on track. Oh, really? Okay. That's the mainstream media application of what's going on, or interpretation of what's going on. This is what they're selling to you. Economy in transition. What does that even mean? Economy in transition. In transition to what? Are they coming back? Transitioning back to, quote, normal, end quote? No. This is an economy in transition that's part of the Great Reset, which is part of the consolidation of power, which is part that you're not going to get anything. Okay, let's go to clip number two. And this is a truck driver. Because remember now, okay, so you've got a lot of excuses out there, a lot of explanations out there. What's happening at the ports? Why aren't these containers being, you know, moving? What the heck? Well, we lack trucks. Okay, is that the reason that we lack truck? There's no trucks. Well, again, now watch this, but also consider it's only a small part of this, but it does have an impact. I would say, think of a golf ball getting hit by a golf ball. Okay, it's going to hurt, from a drive. It's going to hurt. Now, or a hockey puck. It's going to hurt. Now, if somebody throws a medicine ball at you, yeah, it's going to hurt too, if you're not expecting it. So where in the chain of events do these fit? Now, here's a truck driver at the Los Angeles port, which doesn't really comport with what we're seeing from the first video. Watch this.
So recently I seen a TikTok of a gentleman that was at the port and made a video of, you know, the truth of it, and this is the truth. We got the trucks, four rows, we got chassis, they don't give a shit. We've been here for 4 hours. Nothing. So recently.
Okay. So nothing is moving at the ports. Wait a minute. I thought you said you didn't have the trucks, Doug. Well, okay. So the trucks that do get in, first they limit the type of trucks in California. So the trucks that do get in, that fill out all the paperwork about their engine and their VIN number and such, they're still not being loaded. So what is it? Well, who loads, who puts the containers on the chassis? It's the dock workers, right? Because they've already cleared customs. They've been offloaded off of container ships. They're sitting there. They've cleared customs. And here you have a truck driver sitting there saying, hey, I'm ready. Put it on, man. So what does this even mean? The bottom line, and again, I bring you to this, is what in reality, in the practical application based on those two clips, the in the second one, the practical application there would be, okay, well, who's responsible for taking the containers off of where they're at and putting it on the chassis of the truck so the truck can get on? Because the truck drivers sitting there don't make any money. Is that a bug or is that a feature? What we're seeing in that second video, is that a bug or is that intentional? Because they need to be loaded onto the trucks. So what's going on? What's going on? The fact of the matter is, it's a combination. But where is, again, who among all of this is screwing the booch? I submit to you, it is the policies of the California state government, Newsom in particular, as well in tandem with, in conjunction with the Biden regime. It's a manufactured problem. It's one that could be easily solved. You got Biden saying, well, we'll just send, you know, National Guard over there to load the... No, you've got the personnel. The personnel have been told essentially to stand down. Don't do this. Don't load the trucks. Why? If you look at this again through the larger scope of things, we're just going to kill the dollar, because what fuels the dollar? Transactions, commerce, goods moving. This is all part of it. This is the only way this makes sense is, well, we have to kill the dollar. We have to move to a digital currency. And again, the question becomes why? The question is answered very simply, because that's the way we can surveil you. Think about the legislature, think about the bills, the trillions of dollars of bills that are being tossed around in Congress right now, the infrastructure bill and such. What's that all about? Remember, the bank accounts over $600 they want to surveil. And they said, okay, because of your, I'm sorry. We didn't really mean $600 a year. We'll change it. We'll change it to $10,000, $600 balance. We'll change it to $10,000 worth of transactions per year. That's no better. It's going to a digital currency. They're going to kill the U.S. dollar and go to a single, not even an SDR kind of situation, but a single digital currency that they can control. You think, so does that make it, a little bit more, you're not going to own anything and you're going to be happy? You're only going to be happy because we're going to give you, for your fiat dollars, which are essentially worthless anyway, you can turn that into digital currency, but we have the ultimate control over that. So you are going to be told, and by the way, think about this, the level of exchange or the exchange rate will be different based on something akin to a social credit score. But see, people just don't get this. All right, it's enough on the ports. I think you can see through that this is if you're watching a crime in progress, if you're up in the window, like rear window, and you're watching this happen, and you look, why did he do that? Well, this is all part of a larger crime in progress, okay? So that's that on the port issue. All right. Now, in tandem with that, now I want people to really understand that this is all connected. Let's revisit Anthony Fauci, all right, and the NIH and the NIAID and the Wuhan laboratory. And let's revisit this, shall we? We need to do this because, again, this is all part of what's going on. You recall back in May, early summer, the Kennedy and Rand Paul were questioning Fauci under oath, as under oath, about the gain of function studies. Now, anytime you hear gain of function, forget gain. You don't even have to say that. Bioweapon engineer, engineering bioweapons. Because gain of function is merely tweaking a virus to make it more lethal and pathogenic to humans. That's what that means. See, they use these words and phrases to make it color, you know, colored up. All right, let's go to clip number one. And as you watch this, you'll remember this now. As you watch this, think about what you've been told by the mainstream media. Think about the people who post on these crap sites, these garbage sites. Oh, it's safe. It's fine. Everything's fine. You know, the inoculations, the jabs, the vaccines, which are not vaccines, of course, but you get the idea, right? Oh, everything's fine. And trust science. Trust science. Wait a second. Again, and I know you know much of this, but look through it differently. Because think of it this way. When we have an investigation, or if I'm stuck in an investigation, I'll ask somebody else, hey, look, I need a new fresh eyes, fresh pair of eyes. Fresh of eyes, that's pretty good. Need a new set of eyes to take a look at the information. And that's why cold cases are passed all along to different people, team members. You get cold case teams. And, you know, you'll have one guy, one person take a look at the file and then pass it on to a second person. And you get a better picture, a better all-around picture of things. So look at it through the lens of one evolving continuous crime scene. So let's play clip number one. This is from May. This is the Kennedy questioning Fauci. This was on Twitter, reposted recently. But let's go to this one, and you can see Kennedy questioning Fauci about the relationship, about the funding, about the U.S. funding to Wuhan into the weaponization of viruses. Go ahead.
I'm sure I understand your testimony. You didn't give money to the Wuhan lab to do gain-of-function research.
That is correct.
And you believe they didn't do gain-of-function research because they told you they didn't.
We've seen the results of the studies that they conducted, and they were not
including any private studies.
Excuse me? Including?
Any private studies.
I'm not sure what you're getting at, sir.
Here's what I'm getting at. You gave them money, and you said, don't do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say. And you look at the results.
Have you ever had a grantee lie to you?
I cannot guarantee that a grantee has not lied to us, because you never know.
Yeah. Can we agree?
All right. So there you I can't guarantee that. You know, they're not going to use the money to weaponize a virus. I gave them, you know, millions of dollars. Seriously? Okay. Fauci, you think we are stupid? And I'll show you the criminal. I will show you, basically prove to you, the members of the jury, you decide, but I'll show you the evidence, the documentation that proves, number one, Fauci lied under oath, and number two, perhaps most importantly, that Fauci engineered or was part of the engineering of the bioweapon that has taken down so many. How it got released, well, that's up for speculation. But the fact that they were tweaking these viruses, making them into a bioweapon for the purpose, and Gates is involved in this, tangentially involved, you have to ask the question, why? And again, the answers are, you have to look through a macro lens, big picture sort of thing. But let's go to Rand Paul. Same kind of line of questioning, doubling down, Fauci does now, and even insults you and I, insults Rand Paul, because what we see, our lying eyes deceive us. Go ahead and play clip two.
Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of
Virology. Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund...
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain-of-function research?
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina, not in China.
You don't think inserting a bat virus spike protein that he got from the Wuhan Institute into the SARS virus is gain-of-function?
That is not...
You would be in the minority because... At least 200 scientists have signed a statement from the Cambridge Working Group saying that it is gain of function.
Well, it is not. And if you look at the grant and you look at the progress reports, it is not gain of function, despite the fact that people tweet that.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
We do not send money now to the Wuhan Virology Institute.
Do you support sending money? We did, under your tutelage. We were sending it through EcoHealth. It was a sub-agent.
Your testimony. You didn't give money to the Wuhan lab to do gain-of-function research.
That is correct.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain-of-function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know.
And you know what? You don't know what you're talking about either, ladies and gentlemen. Because you do research when you're sitting on the, you know, in the bathroom, right, using your iPhone, going to Facebook posts and Twitter posts, because you just don't know what you're talking about. Trust me, I am the authority, says Fauci. Well, guess what? Now, this is not exactly breaking news, because we've been saying this all of the time. Anthony Fauci is a liar, period. He's a liar. And worse, he lied under oath. He lied to the American people through Congress. He lied. Again, not breaking news to you and I, but what is somewhat breaking news, I would say, is that the National Institute of Health has finally, albeit reluctantly, admitted that Fauci and NIH Director Francis Collins, remember the former head of NIH, resigned and, you know, kind of shoot out of that position. Dr. Strangelove in my head, okay? But they lied when they said that they had not funded gain-of-function research. And Rand Paul and Kennedy called them on it, and they doubled down. That's what liars do. I'll show you the admission. This would essentially be the equivalent to a statement, an admission one would take in an interview. If you were a police officer, you hand somebody a pen and paper, or in this case, a word processor, I guess, and say, here, write it up. Well, they did. And here is the admission. Dated yesterday. And I want to go through this very carefully here. Of course, it's got the obligatory, thank you for your continued interest in the work of the NIH. Okay, yeah. In other words, hey, please don't hurt us. And this document, it's a two-page document, and folks, I'll have a link to it up, or actually post it on HagmanReport.com, or have a link to it regardless. This is from the principal deputy director at the National Institute of Health. Okay, so What this says is that the money that was allocated to and by way of, I should say, to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, by way of NIH and NIAID, to, are you listening, to Echo Health Alliance under a grant. The grant number is A11-10-964. Again, this was awarded to Echo Health Alliance, was used to fund the bioweaponization of a virus not found in the human wild, you know, in the wild, affecting humans. It was found in bats in a cave, and I'll get into that in a second. I'll get to that in a second. But this letter is an admission of guilt, or an admission of the lies by Francis Collins, by Anthony Fauci in particular, the lies to Congress and the lies to the American people. This is news. You have to understand that this right now is an admission of guilt. This absolutely qualifies, or absolutely vindicates anyone asking the question, was this a weapon that was constructed in laboratories? And you, the earlier video about North Carolina, yes, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, some stuff was done there as well as in Canada. But ultimately, the bat virus, if you will, that was tweaked, was done at the Wuhan Institute of Virology under Echo Health Alliance's tutelage, and Ralph Baric, who was the recipient of the grant as the head of the Echo Health Alliance. There are at least 8 violations as referenced in this letter. Per the National Institute of Health guide notice, and this is a notice, this notice was done on October 17th, 2014, White House announcement. No funds are provided and no funds can be used to support gain-of-function research covered under the October 17th, 2014 White House announcement. And that notice was NOT OD 15-011. So that's a violation right there. Number two, violation, the second violation. Should any of the MERS-like or SARS-like chimeras generated under this grant show evidence of enhanced virus growth greater than 1 log over parental backbone strain, you must stop all experiments with these viruses. Kind of a stop loss. Hey, if you're getting too far down the road, you got to stop. We can't have you making these chimera viruses. That, again, a condition of the funding. And ethically proper, I might add. But they violated that too. Again, Fauci knew. Collins knew. Baric knew. Xizheng Li knew. In fact, Xizheng Li and the people at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which, by the way, now is being staffed by members of the Chinese Communist Party themselves, they did this. Another violation of this grant and the conditions thereof. Should any of the MERS-like or SARS-like chimeras generated under these grants show evidence of enhanced virus growth? Oh, I said that, right? Oh, no, this is different. And should the previous happen, you must provide NIAID program officer and grants management specialist with the data. Didn't do it. Did not do it. In fact, hid the data, but not from Fauci, not from Baric, not from Fauci, but hid the data from the oversight of this lab, whatever you want to call it, the Frankenstein-like experiments, plural. And I could go on. There are so many violations that paper, that two-page report has shown, that vindicates all of us, saying this is a bioweapon. Um, There was another violation here, and I highlighted this. NIAID defines a highly pathogenic agent as an infectious agent or toxin that may warrant a biocontainment safety level of BSL-3 or higher. When submitting future progress reports, at the beginning of the report, if your IBC, which is your biocontainment facility or equivalent body of or official has determined, for example, by conducting a risk assessment that the work being planned or performed under this grant may be conducted at a safety level that is lower than BSL-3. In other words, what they're saying is, if you're doing biosafety level work 4 in a biosafety level work 3 or 2 or lower laboratory, you better tell us, because accidents happen and you don't want this stuff out there. But you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. That's what that letter more or less states. But yet again, do we see this on the news? No, we don't see this on the news. So again, I told you so aspect of this does not even begin to cover this. And this was a marvelous Twitter thread, and I'm looking at the Twitter thread itself, but it was very interesting, again, from Senator Rand Paul and others. And the Echo Health Alliance, under the observation of Fauci, directly under Fauci's observation, violated terms and conditions of NIH grant AI-110964 or AL, depending on, I'm not even sure how they did this, but nonetheless, it's 110964. But they knew this was taking place. So, the NIH October 20 letter to the House Oversight Committee, that's where that was directed to, ranking member James Comer, showed that that grant, which was awarded to Echo Health Alliance and then sub-awarded to the Wuhan lab, funded a research project during 2018-2019 that tested if spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulated in China were capable of binding to the ACE2 receptor in a mouse model. The letter added, as you saw in this limited experiment, laboratory mice injected with the SHC014-WIV1 bat coronavirus became sicker than those infected with the WIV1 bat coronavirus. So what this is saying is this is all engineered. So, okay, I ask you, pulled the lens back. Why? Why? You have to go back to Obama. You've got to go back to the Obama regime, of which Joe Biden was a part of. You've got to go back to the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. You've got to go back to Bill Gates when he began talking about depopulation, when he began talking about vaccines that will stifle depopulation and overpopulation. You've got to go back in time. And I often mention this. The Epoch Times did a great job laying this all out. By the way, and if you're not subscribed to the Epoch Times, you got to be, because it's just, they did a superb job of laying all of this out for all of us. Let me find my notes here, because again, this is extremely important to understand. Where'd they go? This is why I use paper notes. All right, so when you look at the 2,300 pages of Fauci's emails, and this is important, how many people know that the Washington Post actually, and BuzzFeed, through a Freedom of Information Act request, actually got 2,300 pages of Fauci's emails? In total, there were like 3,200 emails. And also, in addition, from that FOIA, the New York Post and Epoch Times got their hands on over 3,200 emails. When you see that, and then you go to a telephone conference, a video telephone conference, like a Zoom meeting, if you will, that was held on January 31st of 2020, you're able to start putting pieces together about this, not just the bioweapon that was unleashed upon the world, but the birth of, the creation of, and the response to this bioweapon in the form of what they refer to as vaccines. Again, this only makes sense when you look through the larger lens, not just looking at what people are telling you. Just so you know, the people that are involved in this at the practical application level include, but are not limited to, Francis Collins, who's no longer at the NIH, no longer director of NIH, Anthony Fauci, whose indignation should be a red flag for everyone, Xi Zhengli, known as the Bat Lady in Wuhan. There is a USAID head of something called the PREDICT program by the name of Dennis Carroll. And then there are on-the-ground researchers at Wuhan, bat collector Tian Zhanhu or Zhanhua, and others at that level. And then there's the promoter of the natural origin story by the name of Edward Holmes. Now, Edward Holmes, again, we've been told, oh, this was not engineered in any laboratory. And even if it was, hey, so what? You know, that's a little bit not necessarily a so what statement. But even if it was, the response would still be the same. Create the vaccine in order to kill the virus, or in order to protect you from this nasty virus. Edward Holmes, by the way, is an evolutionary biologist and virologist, and since 2012, a National Health and Medical Research Council Australia fellow and professor of the University of Sydney, at the University of Sydney in Australia. He's an honorary professor at Fudan University, Shanghai, China, from 2019 through the present. Now, you got to ask yourself, what's in it for him to be pushing the natural origins story? Well, it's cover for what's going on. excuse me. Other people, and I just want to mention, give these an honorable mention, of course, Tedros from the World Health Organization. And interestingly enough, Dr. Lee Wen Lang, who died of COVID, tried to, or the coronavirus, attempted to ring the bell, right, on what's going on the ground at Wuhan. Interestingly enough, he died. So what are we to make of all of this? I just want to take you back, because the next logical thing is the vaccine itself, right? The so-called vaccine. Listen to this, because this is important. But before I get to the vaccine, you've got to understand, and at least in my view, you got to go back to 2002, 2003, where the work by Fauci, remember his work in the 90s with AIDS, with HIV and AIDS. Remember what he had done with respect to AIDS, HIV. If you go back to the 90s, in fact, do we have the infographic there, Eric the Tech? Why am I not seeing this? Oh, there it is. Okay. We can go back to, heck, we can go back to 1956 when the Wuhan Institute of Microbiology Lab was founded in Wuhan. And then 78 when it was renamed to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And again, this is compliments of epic times. This infographic is invaluable to understanding what's going on. Now, leave that up there if you don't mind, because I just want to go through this real quick. A couple of high points here, because this is a very detailed breakdown. One of the high points, again, remember 2002, 2003, with the SARS outbreak, 774 people dead worldwide. Well, they said, okay, this virus originated in bats, went to civets, and then to people. But then after the initial SARS outbreak is quelled, well, a secondary outbreak in Singapore, that was linked to a lab accident. So one has to question the deaths of 700, in 74 people, and the subsequent deaths in late 2003 from this so-called bat virus that was identified as SARS. And this, at the same time, you have to look at, if you look over on the right, very right portion of your screen, you're going to see a picture of Shi Zhengli, the director of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, discovering a natural reservoir in coronavirus in bats living in caves in southern China. Well, guess what? Not content to just leave that alone, harvesting those viruses and then tweaking them so they're more pathogenic, more lethal into you, your body and mine. And who paid for this? Who oversaw this? In part, Francis Collins, in part, Anthony Fauci and Ralph Baric from Echo Health Alliance. To what end? Oh, and you can go, you can scroll through this. Again, I this might be a premium thing with Epoch Times. I'm not sure. But one of the issues here, December 30th of 2011, if we fast forward to that, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of NIAID, his NIAID colleague, Gary Nobel, and Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, write a flu virus risk worth taking. Think about this, a flu virus risk worth taking. He, in this Washington Post article, essentially admits, yeah, we're gonna take something that does not exist in nature and tweak it and make it exist in nature because, well, you know what? That's important information, and insights could come from generating a potentially dangerous virus in the laboratory. This is Anthony Fauci. This is the guy that says, oh, no, Senator, you're an idiot. And Fauci is a person people look up to, right? Oh, it's trust the science. Fauci's the guy, put the mask on, take the mask off. Six, social distancing. It's a bunch of crap. I mean, it's all laid out here. Facts, more facts, and abundance of facts. Yet Obama, although he temporarily paused this monetary research, inexplicably says, okay, yeah, let's continue it. Later in his tenure, his occupancy of the Oval Office. All right, so let's, because of the nature of time, let's fast forward it now. And you know what? I'm just thinking, I suppose you can leave that up there. Because there's some good information there. But now we have to ask ourselves, what's going on with these jabs? Are they responsible for rising mortality rates? Or you know what? I don't know if I sent you the link, Eric the Tech, to a, where is it? I don't think I sent it to you. It's actually, I think it was in the UK, the expose. I apologize. Or no, maybe this is the Knock report. I've got so much going on here. Let's see here. That's good. Thank you for finding that. How did you find that so quickly? Did I send that to you and then forgot? I did? Uh-huh. See, I'm okay. Well, this article was published last week. And the title of it, it gets worse. A comparison of official government reports suggests the fully vaccinated, their words not mine, are developing acquired acquired immunodeficiency syndrome much faster than anticipated. Am I reading that right? Is that AIDS? And who did the work on AIDS? Let me think. I think it was Anthony Fauci. Wow. And then Dr. McCall, you can keep that up there. Because then Dr. Joseph Mercola, he comes out with information, which was just within the last 24 hours, saying that, wait a second. According to all-cause mortality statistics adjusted for population growth, the number of Americans who have died between January of this year and August of this year is 14% higher than 2018. That's pre-COVID. With the highest all-cause mortality and 16% higher than the average death rate between 2015 and 2019. What's going on? What changed? Our mortality rate is higher. So between between January of this year and August of this year, mortality rate is 14% higher than the previous year and 16% higher than the previous 4 years. Did COVID-19 raise the death toll despite mass vaccination or because of it? Think about that question. The jab killed an estimated 1,018 people per million doses administered during the first 30 days of the European vaccination campaign. This, again, according to Dr. Joseph Mercola. So, wait a second. You're telling me that 1,018 people died in the European vaccination campaign in the first 30 days. Right? That's what you're telling me. Which accounts for when you take that and put it against the mortality, the overall mortality rates, it accounts for the number of fits that the jab people are dying at a higher rate. So when counting only deaths categorized as COVID-19 deaths, death toll from the jabs is estimated to be between 200 and 500 deaths per million doses administered, with 4 billion doses having been administered around the world. That means that 800,000 to 2 million so-called COVID-19 deaths may in fact be vaccine-induced deaths. There it is. According to all-cause mortality statistics, the number of Americans who have died between January of 2021 and August of 2021 is 16% higher than 2018, the pre-COVID year, with the highest all-cause mortality, and 18% higher than the average death rate the 4 years previous. Consistent with, pretty noise, right? Nice noise. Consistent with the European study. And when you adjust that for population growth about 0.6% annually, the mortality rate in 2021 is 16% above average and 14% above the 2018 rate. So the question remains, why did more people die in 2021, January through August, that study period, despite the rollout of the COVID vaccines that we're going to save everyone, keep everyone from being hospitalized, you know, dying, you know, and such? Why? That's the question. Why? What's going on? Again, to quote, paraphrase Marvin Gaye, or let's get it on. So the question remains, is it because of the jab? And when you start going through the numbers, vaccine-induced mortality, oh boy, the numbers are just absolutely beyond, I mean, they're very surprising. The bottom line here is right now, what we can actually isolate is between 800,000 and 2 million so-called COVID-19 deaths may in fact be vaccine-induced deaths. Now, you're not going to get this from the government because they put all of the, kind of like somebody trying to screw over an audit of their books. They scramble the numbers. They put all the numbers together. Well, there it is. So I'm going to put a link up to the articles sourced here as we close this out. But here's the bottom line. Whether we're talking about the ship container crisis, which is a manufactured crisis, whether we're talking about empty shelves that you're going to see and the lack of product here, beef, such. When we talk about the runaway inflation, the lower job numbers, when we talk about the number of deaths, we talk about the origins of the SARS-CoV-2. Understand this. It's all part of the bigger picture. It's the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is they're going to kill the dollar. They're going to kill you. Consolidate power. Take your stuff. And you know what? If you survive, you're going to be happy. Join me tomorrow, Stan Deo and Austin Brower tomorrow. May God bless each and every one of you. Keep Steve Quayle in your prayers, Russ Dizdar's family, and please, we covet your prayers as well. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.